Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So a Grit Post headline said, Kentucky has the ninth worst economy after 3 years of Governor Matt Bevin's cruel policies. Business Insider said Kentucky's economy 47th in the United States. And you look at, all this conservative ideological economics has taken states in one direction, and that is down. Slashing public aid programs, slashing the social safety net, gutting workers' rights, stealing their pensions, taxing them to give, more to the very wealthy and big corporations has not worked. And we've been doing this now for 40 years. We've been paying homage to the chair and, getting kicked in the teeth for it. But here's the thing. You're seeing people who are rising up and saying, you know what? No more. And I've been saying for a very long time, this is the reason that the right wing has to kill union members, has to destroy the labor movement in this country, because they're the people who are going to stand up and say, we're not taking this steaming pile of you-know-what anymore. And here to talk a little bit about what's going on in his state of Kentucky, I've asked John Stovall to come talk with us. He's president of Teamsters Local 783. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Glad to be here, sir.
So ninth worst economy according to one article, fourth worst according to the next.
So much for all his promise of doing away with right to work, prevailing wage, and all the businesses we're going to run to Kentucky, and that's been real good.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, don't we? I mean, the whole if only we could pass nonsense like right to work, we could steal jobs from other states, and if only we kept wages low enough, at poverty levels, all these employers would flock to the area and give us, poverty wage jobs. Not even that happens.
No, like you said, it's just a tool, like you said earlier in your show, it's a tool to destroy unions. And they marketed it different ways between the Koch brothers and the different stuff they send out in the Guardians. They send out and they send this message out and people hear it and they think, that doesn't sound really bad, but they don't really know what it means. And so they've done that. They've marketed and, take away all these regulations, we're going to do this, we're going to attract all these jobs. And all it does is pimp states out against each other, because the company knows where they're going to begin with, but they're going to see how much of a tax break and how much, they get cheap labor for and stuff like that. So they've done made their mind up. So. Yep. The states run around and pimp themselves out.
Yeah, and to highlight that, have you been following the HQ2, the Amazon HQ thing? I mean, how much money states are just throwing at this company in the hopes that maybe they can land the grand deal, the grand bargain, even though I think Amazon knows where they're going well before any of this stuff goes on.
I've kept up a little bit of it because we got like four or five facilities here in Kentucky, and we actually, the governor made a bid for that, and I didn't think we'd have a shot at it anyways, but what you'd have to give up to get them, you'll never get back in revenue, or we won't in our lifetime, so yep. You'll sell the state just to get them here. And they're not great paying jobs, and they do, none of them are union jobs, but none of them are off of the benefits that a good union contract would offer.
I mean, it's amazing to me. But here's the thing, and this is where I have some hope. And we could probably sit here all day and do the, things are horrible, and these governors like Bevin and, like Brownback Mountain there in Kansas, when he destroyed their state. You can go down the list of all of the horrible policies that these folks have brought forth. I'm kind of hopeful by what I saw in Kentucky, what we're seeing and what we saw in Oklahoma, what we saw in West Virginia, the kind of energy we're now seeing, and actually some victories. And you guys recently have had a victory on the pension issue. I mean, short-term, maybe short-lived, but you celebrate the victories where you can. Tell me about what happened with the pension issue.
Yeah, he tried to launch that through at the beginning, and I guess you would say he tried to do it the legal way. Well, he knew he got so much backlash from the teachers and the public sector employees and state workers, that they ended up hiding it in a sewage bill, and they didn't pass it out until the day of the hearing of the bill itself. So most of the legislators had less than an hour to read it. Well, it passed. So our Attorney General Andy Beshear filed a lawsuit, and we had all the unions and teachers and public sector unions. We marched en masse at Frankfurt, and a lot of politicians got scared. And so after we did all that, Attorney General Beshear took it to court, and it's a judge that Bevins doesn't like. So he's numerous times have called him out in the paper, said he was incompetent, he was stupid, he was a hack, he's a liberal, bleeding liberal, childish stuff that you would think a sitting governor would be above saying stuff like that.
Yeah, you would think a president would be above that too, John, but we at least see where he's getting at.
Yeah, exactly. We got a little one, the country's got the big one. But anyways, they heard it in court, and I mean, less than a day, he ruled it unconstitutional because they were supposed to give three readings to each chamber, and it should have been over 100 members vote, and they only had like 40, I believe what it was. It should have went to both houses and be read, but he didn't do it. They did it all in one day in a sewage bill, and the judge overthrew it, threw it out. Now, Bevin said he's going to fight it, but the Republicans, who took so much heat, said they're not going back to it.
Now, and that's what having the kind of pressure that you guys put on, why is that so important to have that kind of an engaged, active, informed electorate out in the street and paying attention to them? Because, look, politicians don't want the voters paying attention. They want people going about their lives, you know, going to the picnics and the baseball games and forgetting about anything that happens in those halls behind the doors with the smoke-filled rooms.
Oh, absolutely. And it's gotten so bad now that because we have marched. And the thing you said earlier, you kind of hope it awoken some people. At least I think it has here in Kentucky, and obviously it did in Oklahoma and West Virginia and some of the other ones. But what it's done here has brought all the unions together, the teachers union, the Teamsters, the AFL-CIO, the Brothers of that. That's brought the UAW, I mean, SEIU, AFSCME. It's brought all our unions together. And since all this has started, we have regular meetings now amongst each other. And we've made it a pact, like our Central Labor Council. We got close to 60,000 union members in Louisville. We meet once a month now and over this very stuff. So it's really brought us together.
Well, I would hope so, because, look, you know, these attacks have been ongoing for a very long time. And the hope is that, you know, because, look, I'm expecting Monday to be Armageddon Day, and I'm hoping that that labor has a response to the Janus decision that is going to come down on Monday, and I'm hoping it's taking to the streets and shutting stuff down for a while.
That's what I think we need to do. And you know, like I said, we've had been our own worst enemy. Sometimes we react more than we are proactive, and I think that's the biggest thing that we've got to do now is we've got to get our message out there. Well, you know, there's different ways we can do it. You know, we go to the streets, we go to the media. You know, I've always said, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, I guess Philly's not that important, but you got the NFL, like basketball's big here in Kentucky. Everybody knows that. But why not get the NBA Players Union and a couple of guys that played at Kentucky or Louisville to say, hey, you know, I make a lot of money, but my career is only 5 years, and if I didn't have a union and the protection of a union, I wouldn't be able to protect my family when my body's broken down. I think we got to think outside the box.
And absolutely with you.
And it's kind of woken some people up. And there's different ways we can go about it. Instead, we just sit back and we react too much. And that's the only criticism I would have with all of us.
No, I mean, even the Hollywood people. I mean, you know, I forget who it was, but, you know, she was doing one of the talk shows, and she was, you know, talking about mental illness and talking about, you know, her struggles. And
Ashley Judd.
Yeah, okay. And she said, look, it was because my union gives me great health insurance, and I have access to the best medical care that you can get because my union negotiates this, and that everybody should have that. And duh, exactly.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I said. I can't quite understand why some of, you know, we haven't banded together to get that message out there, you know, because we're with the liberal media, but we don't seem to get a good message out sometimes, I guess is what I'm saying. But it has woken a lot of people up.
Yeah.
And made them kind of look at, hey, man, they can really do that to us, or they can really take that away from us. You know, a lot of times people feel, they believe it's to everybody else, not them.
Yep.
And they're starting to see now it applies to everybody.
So there's a liberal media out there? I must have missed it.
Yeah, you and me both, because I got to hear it all the time, too. You're just liberal media. And I'm like, you control every airway there is. I mean, you got Fox, you got all this stuff, though. You got Rush, you got, you know, but yeah, somehow or another, we, like I said, we became counterpunchers instead of going straight at them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I love how well they play the victim card. They control all the levers of power. They control the media. They control the moneyed interests, control all of the major corporation, all of the, you know, the best property, all of the, you name it, the moneyed interests control it, yet they're the underdogs. And that, you know, they're the David in this Goliath scene. It's remarkable to me.
It is. It's kind of like, you know, President Trump yesterday was on there, you know, it's all the Democrats' fault that we don't have border control. It's the Democrats' fault that I had to put these kids in here. You know, I'm like, good God, you control every branch of government there is because of your incompetency that you can't get anything done. But, I mean, they control everything. But they, like you said, they're great at playing the victim.
Yeah, see, I'm not buying the incompetent angle. I'm buying they did this with malice and forethought. They thought this out. The intent was to do exactly what happened. They just hoped that we were dumb enough to fall on the but Obama. And we didn't.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. I just find it so hard to believe that he got elected, you know, that friends, family actually voted for this guy. It's what blows me away, but I don't know.
So in your area, the people that you're talking to, your members, because union members are always given the I don't want to say credit, but always saddled with the responsibility for electing this guy. And look, there were a lot of union members who did vote for him. Are you hearing people going, this isn't quite what I was expecting? Or are they saying, this is exactly what I want out of him? This is the guy I voted for.
Right now, the icing was the detaining the children. That's got a lot of them talking now. Hey, man, that ain't right. You can't do that. And they're starting to see through some of it. I just think, and then some of them will miss that, you know, say, damn it, man, I just voted for him because I wanted it to change. I was sick of the status quo. I hated Hillary. But just something different, and now they've got it, and they, you know, especially with all the trade wars he's starting now, and the different things going on, and Kentucky's our big cash crops, bourbon, and some of this stuff, and China's already talking about that, and so they're starting to see some of this stuff, you know, come around, and it's got them thinking, and you know, we had Richard Ojeda from West Virginia, he came to the Union Hall, he's running for U.S. Congress. And he's a military guy. He's everything that they couldn't say anything bad about.
Right. And he's actually leading in his race right now.
Yes. And some of my Republican members, and, you know, they don't want to admit it, but I know they are. Well, they met him, and he comes in there, you know, camouflage pants on. He doesn't dress up. He speaks from the heart. And they're saying, man, that's what we need. We need more Democrats like that. And I said, well, they're out there, but we just got to get to them. I said, you all get blinded by all that hate and stuff that they spread out there, and you believe all that instead of looking around. So, yeah, I think a lot of them are starting to catch on to it, that, you know. But I really think most of them, it was, they bought into that they just wanted to change a status quo, and they didn't really bother to look at his character and his history and everything else. They just, you know, he got up there, said what he wanted, and I think that impressed a lot of people.
Yeah, well, let's hope come November there's a sea change in this country. We begin to head somewhere back to where where I believe who we are exists. Because what I'm seeing now, I hope this isn't who we are as a country.
Oh, you and me both, it's embarrassing, it's sad, and you're sitting there thinking, you know, how can you believe in this stuff? And, you know, we can all, we're not all alike, so we're all going to have different versions of stuff, but that doesn't mean we can't work together for the betterment of everyone. It's not just about winning. We win, you lose. It's about what's doing right for every citizen of the United States. And that's what we're supposed to be about. And that's what we were about. And that's what made us so great so many years ago. But we kind of went to the fanatical on certain things. And it just, you know, that's what's hurt the nation. It's what's holding us back.
Yeah. But, you know,
in my opinion.
No, you're absolutely right. And I would argue that, you know, the only way we fix our problems is to do what you guys did in Kentucky, and that's take to the streets, begin the organizing, begin talking to neighbors, talking to your friends, family, and having these conversations to where maybe we can come back to a point where, you know, there are some common truths. There are some things that, you know, no matter what side of the divide you're on, there are some things that we agree on. You know, we used to agree on Social Security. We used to agree on workers' right to, you know, to join and form unions. We used to believe that if you work hard and you played by the rules, that you had the opportunity to get ahead. You had the right to an education, health care. We used to believe this stuff, and now we've just been ripped to shreds on virtually every one of those issues.
Oh, we have, and you know, they've made it like anybody that gets Social Security or Medicaid or some kind of government assistance, you know, that they're no good, they're horrible, and you know, the older I get, you know, the one thing I've learned, man, I got enough that I'm gonna be judged on one day. I'm not gonna judge anybody else, and I think our goal in life is to help each other, and you know, help each other up. You don't have to give out handouts, but help each other up, and that's what the union was. And a lot of times, when I do talk to people and they want to know. And I said, well, the best way you can look at a union right now, I said, 11%, maybe less than that, that's left in the United States unionized. I said, that used to be what kept the middle class up and kept the economy going. I said, but the Republicans spend 90% of their time trying to destroy the unions. And I go, why do you think that is? And they'll look at me, well, what do you mean? I said, if they do away with the unions, then it would be the haves and the have-nots. There'll be no more middle class. and they'll pay you and do to you what they want to do to you in the workplace, and you'll have no recourse to go anywhere else. And they kind of look at it and they think, man, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, think about it. It's less than 11% of the workforce is union. Why do they spend so much time and write so many laws to go after unions and make it hard for unions to represent people? I said, do you really think they give a shit about you over there if you didn't have a union? And some of them are starting to get it. I think they're starting to see it. But like I said, that's the part where we, all the unions, need to get the message out in a strong force and you know, do it together.
No, I'm right there with you. And I've been saying that exact thing for about 13 years now.
14 years, yeah.
you know, every day on this program, we hit some theme of that because you're absolutely right. And in the private sector right now, union density is about 6.4%. We're almost to the point to where it was when it was illegal to be a union member in this country. And once Janus gets pushed through on Monday, and I have very little faith that it doesn't go any way but the wrong way, that number, 11.3, I think it was, will fall pretty fast into the single digits, because the public sector is where the union density is right now, and the right wing knows that. This is not about their First Amendment rights. This isn't about, you know, anything other than pure politics and pure punishing your opponent. That's all this is about. It's not about some idiot who believes one thing or another. This is purely about political power.
That's it. And like I said, they want the haves and the have-nots, and they're not going to stop until we either wake up and everybody starts fighting back. But they're going to keep coming at us. And I think, you know, I'm feeling a little bit encouraged here lately that people are starting to see it. And, you know, like we'll have news channels come out to Union Hall to interview or something like that. I've had some that said, man, I wish we had a union. You know, we'll start talking. And you'll see some of them, you know, they're starting to get some of that stuff. But you'll still got your ones that they've tied them into the guns and all that kind of stuff. Yep. They're going to take our guns, and you need to support all them people. And, you know, so, but like I said, we've got some good young people coming up, and it's going to be up to the young people. And that's the only reason I feel halfway confident, because they're getting more involved and they're starting, you know, even though it's a horrible things that happened in Florida and that, but it you know, the kids got powers, and they, you know, they need to, you know, I guess we were kind of at fault for not teaching them the labor movement. We all kind of went away from that. We went away from the labor movement. We went away from skilled trades jobs that everybody had to go to college. And that was part of, you know, part of our fault too. But I think they're starting to see it. So I'm encouraged.
And that is the hope. The more we talk to them, the more we get out and preach the message, the better I think it's going to be. John, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the thoughts. And also, congratulations on the victory, even if it is, you know, maybe even short period. But, you know, the hope is that by staying active, engaged, people in the streets, we continue to move in the right direction. Thanks so much, John.
You too. Keep up the fight, Rick.
Good stuff. John Stovall, he's the president of Teamsters Local 783 there in Kentucky. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.